21.
Chapter 21.
Okay. And you want me to read all 1 through 38?
The whole chapter, please.
And how do you call those who were throwing their gifts into the treasury, wealthy men? And he saw a certain widow who was in need, throwing therein 2 very small copper coins. And he said, truly, I am saying to you, this widow who was poor threw in more than all of them. For all these, out of their superfluous funds, threw in their gifts. But she herself, out of that which she possessed, and which she did not meet her need in the necessities of life, threw in all that she had with which to sustain life. Yeah.
Read that again, please.
Would you like me to have the English version now? Just kidding.
People can understand it.
Okay. Jesus looked up and he saw the rich putting their gifts into the offering box. He also saw a poor widow put in 2 small copper coins. He said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put in more than all of them. For they all offered their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything she had to live on. Now, while some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and offerings, Jesus said, as for these things that you are gazing at, the days will come when not one stone will be left on another. All will be torn down. So they asked him, Teacher, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that these things are about to take place? He said, watch out that you are not misled, for many will come in my name, saying, I am he. And the time is near. Do not follow them. And when you hear of wars and rebellions, do not be afraid, for these things must happen first. But the end will not come at once. Then he said to them, nations will rise up in arms against nations, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes and famines and plagues in various places. And there will be terrifying sights and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will seize you and persecute you, handing you over to the synagogue and prisons. You will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will be a time for you to serve as witnesses. Therefore, be resolved not to rehearse ahead of time how to make your defense. For I will give you the words along with the wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will have some of you put to death. You will be hated by everyone because of my name. Yet not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation has come near. Then those who are in Judea must flee into the mountains. Those who are inside the city must depart. Those who are out in the country must not enter it, because these are days of vengeance, to fulfill all that is written. Woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing their babies in those days, for there will be great distress on the earth and wrath against this people. They will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away as captives among all nations. Jerusalem will be trampled down by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And there will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and on the earth nations will be in distress, anxious over the roaring of the sea and the surging waves. People will be fainting from fear and from the expectation of what is coming on the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man arriving in a cloud with power and great glory. But when these things begin to happen, stand up and raise your hands, because your redemption is drawing near. Then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the other trees. When they sprout leaves, you see for yourselves and know that summer is now near. So also you, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. I tell you the truth, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. But be on your guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day close down upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will overtake all who live on the face of the whole earth. But stay alert at all times, praying that you may have strength to all these things that must happen and to stand before the Son of Man. So every day Jesus was teaching in the temple courts, but at night he went and stayed on the Mount of Olives. But all the people came to him early in the morning to listen to him in the temple courts.
Okay. Any thoughts?
We're in them times now.
Okay, so we're in them times. What times are they?
The end times that they were speaking on here.
Okay. Well, the reason why I wanted to do this in a way is really honestly to share with you how I look at the scripture and I study. Because I can teach and share with you what I believe the Lord's showing me to show you so you can be fed. Or I can show you how I feel the Lord wants to show you himself so you can go to him and let him feed you daily. We know the saying, feed someone a fish for a day, they'll be full for the day. Teach them the fish they can eat for life. And so, not that I have it down, but at least you can understand what's going on in here when I do it. And so I do believe that there's a lot in this chapter that we could never touch and get to the depths of what God has here for us in some aspects. But in the reality, I think it's very simple that what's being taught here, that we can walk in and enjoy the Lord daily, which is, I think, the most important thing for each of us, to walk with him daily and to seek him as our redemption draws near. I wish we had someone around that could read the scriptures to us so we could understand them all the time, simply because when I read it, it doesn't come out that easy. It ain't come out as well, but that's probably because I don't read very well. So when you read this chapter, what do you feel like is the main point for this chapter? Okay. This life's temporal. That's a good one.
We have to trust God and believe he will take care of us.
Okay. We heard that we're living in those times, right? So, as we come to here, we're, okay, Lord, we see time short. But yet, when I read this, I also see that it's been 2,000 years. And there's a great danger in that, because I really think the main point for me in the whole entirety of this chapter is the last two verses. Because Jesus says, last four verses, take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and the day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the earth. Watch, therefore, and pray always, that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Now, I say the last two verses because I think it's neat, because Luke takes the opportunity to say what Jesus has been doing the whole time. Through this whole time, as he's coming and sharing, he's been in the temple. We're going to go next week in, well, whenever we get there, chapter 22, we start looking into the Passover and his death. So these are the last words he has before the Last Supper. And it's just his disciples. So this is, what you would say, the last public speaking time for Jesus, for all to hear. And it says, in the daytime he was teaching. So, but at night he went and stayed on the mountain called Olivet. What was he doing on the mountain called Olivet? We know from other verses and other scriptures.
Praying.
Okay, he's going out and seeking the Father so that he's able to go and teach. Right? Because he tells us that the only things that he speaks are the things that he hears from the Father, and he takes what he hears from the Father and declares it to all those who are around. So his main concern for his brothers is that they realize that the time is short. But we got 2,000 years in between. What's the tendency to think for most people?
Ain't going to happen.
Jesus got it wrong.
But it's only been 2 days in his time.
Not even. 2 days, right? Why is that?
Because a day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a day.
What?
Something like that.
A day is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is a day. To the Lord.
Yes.
Because he's outside of time. And really, in the scheme of things, it's been 6 days since creation and 2 days since, not quite 2 days, since his son died and rose again. But there's an opportunity here that Jesus wants to settle home and give us a point so that we know how to walk in these days. And I would say the first thing is, as he says, beware. So the first thing in all of our lives we need to take a step at is just sit there and say, Lord, I don't want to be in this position where I'm not aware. Be, it's our being. We're to be alert. We're to be watching. We're to pray always. Pray without ceasing. Right? We take all these scriptures from different places and bring them into what we know. So when we look here to study here, I'm pulling everything from everything that the Lord showed me in the past, correct? And so you're going to get to a point where you're going to be like, well, that came. How do I know that? How do I know it's well with my soul? We all just sang. We don't?
I think in a way it's how you look at the unfolding of his plan in history. And if you don't see it as a one continuous, like history, like people have that expression, history repeats itself. Well, honestly, God has a plan for eternity, and it's not repetitive. He has to keep reinforcing his plan in our lives, and I think that's what this book is all about, because it is going to end. He is going to bring close to this time. And I think it's how you look at history, his story, and how he's woven it throughout the eternity from creation to revelation. And if you can see that he is eternal and sits above the waters, above the thrones of all time, then you can, it gives you that hope that, this is coming to an end. We live like, okay, every day, we're just doing the same old, and it's going to, and we get sick of it, and we just fall back into our bad habits or whatever. But God's eternal plan is unfolding, and it's not stuck in a loop. We're heading out of the loop, and we are progressing to a time when it will be culminated. It's going somewhere. It's progressive. History really is progressive. It's not. I mean, if you think of that as the revelation of Christ, I think it's getting that concept. But I don't know that we live like that. We don't. We don't live like it. Live like it.
No, we forget. That's why we need reminding.
Yep.
That's why we come together.
The story.
As we see the day approaching, right? It says, "Let us not forsake the assembly." As we see the day approaching, well, if we're in those last days, then I would assume that the day's approaching. So I guess I should not forsake assembly. But.
You have to put grace on what I'm going to say because, my brain's like a popcorn and I think things. And so Anne's economy is different than Jesus' economy. But with thinking about, like, expecting him to come, if you are expecting somebody, one of your kids, to walk home in the house, then you're not thinking them as a thief, that you're not, like, afraid that they came in. But then in my heart I thought, well, when Tyler comes home late at night from his shift at midnight and I'm watching a Hallmark movie that I know he doesn't really like Hallmark movies, then I'm like, And so I come home, and he finds me doing that which he doesn't really like, so to speak. So like I said, this is an earthly, it'll break down kind of thing. But likewise with Jesus, So he says, be on guard, let your hearts not be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and worries of this life, and that day closed down upon you suddenly like a trap. So I'm just using the hallmark, as you know, unequivalent. There's things that we will be ashamed of should he come back. But then in that, we know that every sin is covered, past, present, and future, 2,000 years ago on the cross, so not to lay a trip on anyone, but I think it reveals who our hearts are living for, what we're living for. Do we believe in that reality of who he is? Mm-hmm. If we are doing those things and say, you know, so sometimes I hurry up and flip the channel to, oh, this old house, you know, he's happy when I come home and I'm not
back. You're going to have an alarm outside and she says the Bible's going to open up and Anne's going to wake up.
So like I said, put faith on that, but that's like the picture that came to my mind.
Well, it's actually... it's a good way to take heed.
Because I do know him, and I do love him, and I am expecting him. And so I can be caught watching that which he does not like, or that which he does like.
But you weren't sleeping?
Sometimes I pretend.
Oh.
I pretend I'm...
The remote turned it to the channel while I was sleeping. The varmints.
Yeah.
The varmints changed the channel.
Yeah.
So, if you go to the end and realize, okay, today's serious. Today could be your last. And that's the truth. The grass grows and fades away. But the truth is I don't think we live the way, we don't really live that out and truly believe. Because we keep seeing these things unfolding, like, hey, I'm here today. He hasn't come. And so we can get lax. We can get lazy. And when he talks about, so when you look at this, when he talks about carousing, what do you consider, what is the warning for carousing for you? Because that's what it, where you come to that answer is where you're going to walk in that truth. Like, I have what that means to me, but it doesn't matter. It needs to mean something to you. It has to be personal. This is a personal letter to each of us that we can walk with him in a personal relationship, coming together, encouraging one another, building one another up, so that when we go out, we can not be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. And one of the greatest winds of doctrine in the church is end times. People want to get you after looking for Jesus is coming back. It could be today. Trust me, don't get me wrong. It can happen. Because you might not wake up tomorrow. Can't fail. Accidents happen. Mm-hmm. When your time's up, are you ready?
Yeah.
These are just the warnings in Scripture the Lord gives us to be serious, to be sober. Carousing. Weighed down with carousing. Drunkenness. Nobody does that here, right? You don't have to answer. Cares of this life, gotcha.
I say, when I go to the doctor, whatever that paper says, that's what I do.
That's why I don't go to doctors. I don't have to lie then.
But I think that's the admonition to redeem the time that you have.
Right.
Redeem every minute. And we don't, because we're human and we just don't redeem the time. That we. But it's a great mindset. Consider that in everything you do. I mean, if you can have the mind of Christ about every situation.
But you do.
Yeah, yes.
We do have
but
the mind of Christ.
You want you know,
that's a promise.
Allow him to exercise right. his mind in you.
Yep.
Amen. And turn and make that conscious decision. I, like Ken told me, I made a decision when I fell. I was having a great time. I'm not sure he'll give the testimony if he hasn't to other people. I was having a wonderful time with the Lord. So I was not. He said, some people say, I was getting your attention. He said, he had my attention.
Yeah.
And while I was rejoicing and having this great time with the Lord, I fell. And then I had to make a conscious decision about, am I going to continue rejoicing in the Lord, or am I going to curse and...
Yeah.
You know, like, woe is me. You know, get into the whole pity party thing. Like, I can't move. I can't walk. I can't. You know, so anyway, I thought that was a great, and that is. It's
yep.
a redeeming the minute you have.
Yep.
So if y'all want to be mad, I was there with him before it happened. I wasn't feeling good, and I said, I'm out of here. I'm leaving.
Oh.
Hope you get, you know, I got him. I got there to get him set up. If I didn't go to work that day, he wouldn't have been set up, and he wouldn't have been able to be where he was to fall.
Oh, are we talking guilt here?
No, not at all.
No, absolutely not.
No.
God had him right where he wanted to, rejoicing with him, and then...
No, because, you know, it was an awesome time of fellowship, and beforehand he said the one thing he hates is to have to be still, because he's always sore when he takes off a day to get his body moving again. So guess what?
Oh, my goodness, is he ever
going to
be storing
out? So it's just fun. The Lord, be careful what you say, be careful. But the Lord's in control. And during these times, it's really interesting because you can find, well, they're there to show you where you are as you walk with them.
Well, there's a verse in the Bible I made me think of what she was saying, and it says something about don't be running out to get oil for your lamp and come back and the door be locked. Like you're supposed to have your oil stocked up, you know, when you were saying about the thief. And
go buy your, yeah. Right. And actually, that's in Matthew when he's actually talking in these same parts, that's one of his examples, parables that he uses to bring all this out, to be watching, to be ready. It's actually, see, and that's what's cool about us coming together and talking, that because you know the Lord's, through His Holy Spirit, is bringing truth to each of us to reveal Himself to all of us so that we can walk out together in the same mindset. And so I was kind of had this thought is, if I had, all right, it starts at the beginning. Look at the people giving gifts to the temple. Right? He starts there. And they go right to, oh, wow, look at the beautiful temple. And he says, they're getting tore down. I'm telling you, it's coming down. But even more so, at the end, he even takes it away from that. Heaven and earth are going to pass away. But the only thing that's going to remain is His Word. So this building, gone. The donations, the decorations, they don't matter. And if it's all stripped away and moved and placed to a, put into a place, can I rely on His Word to trust Him? Can I come to a place in Scripture or these Scriptures and find my hope in Him alone? To keep me straight, to keep my mind set on Christ, to have that mind, to redeem the time. Do you know it's all in this chapter? If this was the, if you ripped this out of your Bible, you would have enough of Jesus for the rest of your life while we're here on this earth until He came back. With what you know already, and if you hide this word in your heart, I guarantee you that the Lord will open Himself up to you so that you can walk with Him no matter what happens around you. Why? Because He teaches us to take heed. He teaches us to why to take heed. And that's lest we get weighed down. And then He tells us, what's that? Take heed lest you fall, right? He thinks He knows anything, knows nothing as He ought. Take stand. But at the day, and that day come upon you unexpectedly. And for it will come as a snare. Notice it says on all. So it seems to me like we're learning that we're not going to know the exact time or hour. Right? I think Jesus taught that pretty clearly. And I think it's very shameful for the body of Christ to put fear in people's lives to say, look at the world today and buy my book or follow after me and let me tell you, Jesus is coming soon. Or this is the day. Or follow after this person or follow after that person. This is the day of your salvation. Today is the day that I get to know Him more, to grow and walk with Him more, to know my salvation. It's not to push off. It's not to push away from. It's to draw near and to draw from. So when we look at this, He starts off saying, look at the people. Man's natural intentions is to look at a building. They looked at the building. And so Jesus had to say, you got to get your eyes off the building. It's coming down. And then he warns about going after people, trying to put more fear and cares upon your life about saying, well, this is the end. This is the end. Now, we're not guaranteed tomorrow. So is it the end? It's the end of this moment for all eternity, for each of us right now. It's already history, what I just said. But what I do and continue, I can walk with him knowing that he's in control. So he gets people, he wants people to see, I think through all this, is you see two people. Well, you see multiple people, but you see it started off with Jesus saying, look at the people giving. Yes, one gave more, looked different than what we thought, but the one came to a point where they realized they didn't have enough for their own need, and they gave all, which meant their lives, not their pockets. It's a surrendered life unto the Lord, knowing that, hey, at that time, the Ark of the Covenant wasn't even in the temple. It was an empty shell. And I think a lot of times people come to a building and they find out that this is an empty shell. Guess what? 6 days a week it is. The only time it houses church is when the church comes. Because we are the church. We walk with him. So we're given ideas and opportunities to look at this. And he said, I keep turning to 22. But he brings about and he warns about end times. And he says, don't get caught up in the end times. Why? Because they're not going to come immediately. Verse 9. Say again. Great. Well, all these people who heard him found out very seriously and truthfully that none of that, this didn't happen before they went to their eternity, right? And many of us might be in that same place, but we have an opportunity to walk in a way that we don't grow weary while doing good. And so, keep in mind that don't let someone pull you off, pull you away to try to make you feel like, oh my gosh, I'm missing something. That I'm missing Jesus. Or, look at the craziness of this world. Don't you see it? Don't let that stir you to fear. Let it stir you to faith. Let it stir you to sit before him and surrender and say, Lord, I'm coming to the mountain. I need you to speak so I know how to teach myself, for you to teach me so I know how to live circumspectly or reverently while I have this time. So he says it's not this time. So he gives a few examples. Nation arise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Do we see that?
Yep.
Sword against sword.
Russia, Ukraine.
I think these are also like I'll say all of us in this room are walking with Jesus, and we didn't have to see these events in order to have our hearts turn to him. And I know throughout the ages, the last 2,000 years, all these things have been happening, and so it is a slow process. I remember my old pastor's wife, she got saved because she read the end of the book first. She read Revelation, and that's what drew her to a relationship with Christ. So I think, you know, ultimately, like after Tyler's mom died, she died, you know, very unexpectedly, quickly, and I've never, like, had that feeling so bad, like I wanted to call her up and say, well, how was it? Like, where are you? What happened? Because she feared death greatly. And then when it happened, like, I can't call her. I can't ask her, you know, until hopefully I see her up there. So I think that sudden, that thief in the night, whenever death is inevitable for all of us, we don't know the day, we don't know the hour. Are you ready? And then again, in God's mercy, I think he puts these signs that have been happening over the past 2,000 years to draw those to himself who need that to be drawn to the Lord through that, you know? So we didn't come to him because we saw all of these things. Does that make sense?
No. All things must be fulfilled.
Yep. I find it interesting that he says perplexities, the seas and the waves roaring. One of the things that a lot of people have fear of today is global warming. The seas rising and flooding out the earth and all these things. And it's in the hearts of people. And if you listen to these young kids that are listening to this stuff that's being shoved down their throats, their hearts are waning. they're really in a place. I mean, you see pictures on the news of people locking themselves to art and doing all these weird things because of global warming. I don't know. Maybe I watch too much news or other things. I probably do. The more I watch it, the more I realize the day's approaching. Because we're in a sick world. And it ain't getting much better. So,
Right.
Huh?
They will fail.
Yep. Fear stalls you and everything. So we see here that it's not going to come immediately, and then all these things are going to take place. But what does Jesus tell his disciples and those who are listening to him, the whole purpose while in the meantime?
Fear not. 365 times in the Bible says, fear not. One for every day.
Yep.
What are we doing during leap year? Read it again.
You got to live the day over.
Right. Well, verse 12 tells us before all these things, but verse 13 is the answer. Why am I here today? Why, when I said, Jesus, take my life, did he not just take my whole being and to his presence and where I could escape this world and not be here anymore? Verse 13 is the answer. Everything that you go through every day, all day long, is for verse 13. It is for you as a testimony. And the version Ann read was witness. That your life might be an example. That you can either live terrified or settled by faith that I'm going to seek and continue to go after him, knowing that the day is approaching. Maybe today. Not out of fear, but just wanting to know him. Do I want to enjoy him? Why am I saved? Because I want to know him.
I remember in Ed's book, that Back to Bethlehem, there's something that talks, and he says that him and Lillian have this, well, he has congestive heart failure, and he calls the congestive missionary congestive heart failure, and he calls the Lillian, he has missionary muscularism, right? And I said, well, what do you mean? And he says, well, it gives me an opportunity to go to places that I probably wouldn't go to witness, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's really kind of what you were saying.
Or your life in and of itself, because you're going through what you're going through, becomes a witness.
That's right.
Paul says that you are our epistles, meaning the life that you walk out, people are reading, and people are studying, and either they're seeing you walk in relationship, and what happens is they come to you because they want to know what you have during these times, or they see enough and they're not worried about it.
Well, I think it's kind of like when you're talking about verse 13. I mean, instead of feeling like woe is me, look at it as an opportunity. God's giving you an opportunity to talk
right
to someone or to be a witness.
Right. Because the testimony is not the end, it's the beginning. It's just the continuation of what the Lord's doing in your heart. And so if we keep at it, and so if we, what's the next words he says in verse 14?
Therefore be resolved not to rehearse ahead of time how to make your defense. And then I'm going to go on to 15. I was about to say that one. For I will give you the words along with the wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict.
I want to say one thing. This is not why I did this way today. Not to worry about what to say beforehand. We don't have news. Believe me, I was thinking about everything I wanted to say today. And but my version says, settle it in your hearts.
Mm-hmm.
You see, all these things need to come to a place in our lives that I take the word and I hear it and I see what Jesus is saying and I understand that it's coming. He's coming soon. It might not seem like it. It might seem like he's tearing. It might not seem like he cares a lot of times, but it's settled in my heart that I'm going after him today. It's settled in my heart that I know he's coming and that he's put his spirit within me to where I can cry out, Abba Father, that he can meet me and trust. He says this right after chapter 20 ends with, they no longer came to him asking him questions. Right? Because they're done. He's already proven that there's nothing you can ask him he can't answer, that his word is sufficient, that we can come to him and all things that pertain to life and godliness are found in him, which according to that is in his word, which is in here, so that we can come to his and learn all things for the salvation of our souls, right? So we know it's coming, but we don't want to continue. We want to be living in a way that's just thankful. Because for me, to see someone to take their last moments to a public audience to say the last things he could say, this is someone who cares for them deeply, that wants them to understand and hear, so that when they hear, their hearts are provoked, so that they want to continue after. That's all of our desire, right? Anytime you teach your kids, you don't teach them just to say, I can't wait to see them to stick their finger in the socket. That's going to be fun. No. You teach them to warn them. Or you teach them to guide them so that they stay away from things. Some of us like knives and forks and play with dangerous things. You find out the hard way, right? Well, finding out the hard way of not taking heed to the times can be very dangerous. It can be very costly. And one of the things that takes place with these people is you have religion. And this is my main disgust. Religious people that are coming and wanting to know when, or wanting to know how. They never ask why. Why is things getting ready to change? What's going on? Why does it need to change? The Lord's got to tear it down because the system's not working. You don't even recognize me when I show up. So we need to tear it down so I can get rid of all the crap to open up to see the simplicity that's in Christ. Because anything that's not of simplicity is of the enemy. Satan, right? That's what Scripture teaches us. So it's a simple walk daily with Jesus, coming to Jesus, asking him to teach us, lead us, and guide us. We're in the time of the Gentiles. Does anybody know what that means?
Does it mean that we have that opportunity, like, because the Jews rejected him, then we were actually blessed for this opportunity?
When's the time end?
At the culmination.
Huh?
The culmination of history.
Yeah. I think it doesn't matter. I think we just keep seeking him and knowing, because when he's, we're told that when that ends, that he's going to be here. Yep, that's what all things are being fulfilled. So some people teach that when the last non-Jewish believer comes in, that it's over. There's many different things there that can make you question, but the one thing I do know is when he comes, we're going to know it. And there won't be any questions or doubts. I have a question about verse 19. Even though I'm going to settle it in my heart not to meditate, I'm going to trust the Lord's going to give me the words to share that are going to bring life to those and the hearers that want to hear. Verse 19 is interesting. I hope it makes you question and ask yourself, by your patience, possess your souls. Anybody want to explain to me that? Or read another version?
What I read was, by your endurance, you will gain your lives.
Okay. What does that mean?
Let patience have its work within you.
Okay.
And don't get tired of doing good.
Okay.
In the first generation of the church, they were literally trying to get people to renounce their faith in Jesus, like what the Roman government was. So, obviously, by your endurance, I mean, you don't want to pronounce Jesus, because he's telling us this life is temporal. This is, we're basically in the middle of a rebellion. This is like a satanic rebellion.
Right. Those who don't know him, and even the rebellion that's in within the ones who do. So, yeah. Thoughts? By your patience, possess your souls. How about hold every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, being willing to put all disobedience down by obedience? That's a verse. And then?
Submission.
Submission. Submit. But see, when I understand that my life becomes a testimony, and I know that it's to bring forth Christ, and even though it hurts and it's painful, I think Jesus was our example, and you don't have to worry about it. It says that he has suffered more than any man and beat beyond description. So in our lives, I don't think we've made it that far. Even Hebrews says you haven't suffered unto bloodshed, resisting sin. So we need to be real and honest with ourselves about a lot of things. But we can surrender to the fact that if I understand that, like Kent saying, I knew that I fell, and at that point I had an opportunity to continue in his presence of worship, in a place of worship, where I can... What's the natural response for someone when something doesn't go, when you're worshiping the Lord and it goes contrary? Grumble and complain. Gee, Lord, I had my eyes on you, and you're going to let this happen to me?
Facing the giants, praising when we win, praising when we lose. Praising
right,
when
but it's always
don't
a win.
Go, praising when go next.
We never lose if we have that understanding that we can possess. But by possessing it, what it's saying, when it says yours says life, this says soul. It's the word psuche in the Greek, which is psyche, which is your brain. There's a way to be patient enough to bring about salvation to your thought process. Right? Be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Right? So by patience, I have to breathe, take on the circumstances, and make a decision. Guess what? What I learned is I can't do it on my own. So I have to rely on him to say, Lord, help me. Keep me in a place where I see my eyes are fixed on you, where I'm trusting you. In these circumstances, the only thing I know about them is you want to bring forth the beauty of your life through mine so that the world around me can see you. Not me, but him. Right? And by patience and understanding, I can possess my soul knowing that all things are working together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding and all your ways. Do what you want. Acknowledge him. And what's he going to do? Direct your path. He's going to bring you to a place that he can bring you to, get you to where you can rest and trust in him fully so that you can be a light for those around. And trust me, every one of us, I can pretty much guarantee, are insufficient, feel insufficient, and don't feel like they should be able to speak for God. But yet he says, I've made you, I'll be your mouth, and I'll give you the words. So who am I? I can go to the mirror and say, insufficient. Or I can say, Lord, you're right. I'm going to trust you. I'm not going to get caught up in the cares of this world. Which, guess what that is? That's your bills. That's what everybody thinks about you. What you think about anybody. You can just keep going down the list. None of it matters. Except to know him. And as we know him, he wants to shine his light to make himself known. So by our patience, we possess our souls. We don't no longer say, why don't you just take me out of here? I'm done. You know, I live with that. Every day, don't we? Like, it'd be so much easier if he would just take me. And he said, I am. But will you take me for what I'm telling you? And let's walk together and let's continue. Be patient. The times are evil. But when the darkness comes, the light shines brighter. Right? So,
we have the opportunity, if you truly believe it's the last time, to set yourself before the light of the world and let Him illuminate your heart so that as you walk out, the people will see and have a hope that they'll see something in you that will have them come to you and say, what is it that you have that I don't? Because I have fear. I have frustrations. I have this world's driving me nuts. Heck, my own brain does it most of the time. Help me. How do I walk through this?
Well, can I mention quickly?
Sure.
On this so strong relative to patience, says patience, enduring, patient continuance, and the one I like the most is patient waiting. And then for souls, it actually says soul, life, mind, heart. And it actually, one of the first definitions says the breath of life, which I think is pretty cool. So it would be in your patient waiting, possess ye the breath of life. That's pretty cool. Just saying.
Mm-hmm. Take that.
Take that.
But it takes faith.
Yeah. The beginning part of this chapter, the first four verses, I think are profound because, you know, talking about the viewpoint of those people, seeing the rich people walk in and give some money and the poor lady sort of crawl in and give to, I think it's like, it's a heart check. I think this whole chapter is a complete heart check and a change of your, hopefully, of your focus, where I think the first four verses is saying, are you giving everything to me? Or do you think you're rich and you're giving a little pittance and you think you're good with that? Or are you giving everything? This lady came in and gave everything. And then he goes through all these processes and all this stuff down through the chapter. And I think at the very end, you know, what happens when you think you're rich and you're in need of nothing? Well, that's when that, you know,
when you become a Pharisee,
you become dissipated with things of the world because your perspective's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Be careful where how you stand.
Mm-hmm. Take he who thinks he stands,
thank you.
See lest he fall.
Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. So I think the whole head check on this thing is pretty profound.
Yep.
And in that, hey, it's like with the contrast of the world. In the world, they honor, you know, rich people giving a whole bunch of money to something. And you know, mm-hmm. you're giving, and all these people that give these millions of dollars or whatever. And he's going, you know, but did they give everything? They give everything? Are you giving everything? And then in light of that, how would the world see all these little pieces, the desolation of Jerusalem or all these things that are happening, how do they see it? Well, they get frantic and they get concerned, you know, they're all filled up with it. Anyway, not for me.
I just wanted to share a little thing about the light and the darkness. I shared at the women's tea yesterday that I took the trash out one night, and as I was walking back, there was this little window of the sky that was real, real black and dark, and the stars were just really, really bright. But then right around it was like this frame of clouds coverage, you know, so like I couldn't see any stars on either side. And then the next day I went for a walk and I looked up and I was like, the same stars are there, but we can't see them during the day because it's so bright. And so I think as this world gets darker, our hearts can either be discouraged and overwhelmed or say, wow, we are like those stars that are shining even more brightly in the darkness. But the point also was that that He is present even when we can't see Him behind that cloud coverage. And some people couldn't make it yesterday because the fog was so thick. And so, again, you know, when you turn out the lights in a room and you think, you know, everything in the room just went, you know, in front of you to block your way, but even in the darkness, even in the fog, even when the clouds covered, you know, that we think those things aren't there, I think it's a picture of Christ. He is, even when we can't see Him. And this world is definitely trying to shroud Him out to prevent believers from knowing with a sure foundation that He is present.
We're patiently waiting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just lastly, how do I continue by patience to possess my soul? Verse 28 tells us, look up
lift up your heads, for your redemption draws nigh. Keep back, come back to the fact that it could be at any moment that he calls me home. But until then, he's in me. So he's in the world trying to say, here, listen, the times are coming. It's getting crazy. There ain't much hope out there. But there's life in him. And we can come to, and through all these things, it says that in Timothy that he's faithful because he can't deny himself. When we're faithless, he's faithful. You know, so even when we don't walk in these things, this isn't a guilt trip. It's a hope and a desire that you just want to fall in love with Jesus even more, knowing that the day's approaching. And then knowing that someday soon, all this junk will be gone. And then I can walk with him in complete, total surrender. Until then, we've got to keep encouraging one another to press on towards that upward call, to remember it as well with my soul. There isn't anything going on that the Lord doesn't know. And he's perfectly ready to meet you where you are and to walk with you through what you're going through so that you can be a light to the world around you. And so that's all I have. We can either go back through this more or less. But I do want you to know the reason why I tell you what I'm teaching the next week is so you study it. Because my biggest fear is the body of Christ always goes to Moses. When the Lord said, come to me, they say, no, you go, because he's afraid. And the greatest thing that anybody could see is everyone go after Jesus. Don't come here on a Sunday thinking that I have or anybody that comes up here teaches up there and has something that the Lord doesn't want to give you. It's a personal relationship with him. I don't have anything, but y'all know that if you know me well enough and you talk to me, there's nothing going on here that most of you knew the Lord before me. And we're praying for me to be saved. So it's just an opportunity to say, you know what, I'll be a fool for Christ. I'll speak. And I pray that his life comes forth and people have a greater hunger. Just go after it daily, seeking, knowing it could be your last on this earth. And so that you don't live in regrets and you don't get caught up in the cares of this world, wasting all your time on stuff that does not matter. We all know what that does because it ends up costing you. So know that your redemption draws nigh. Look up and keep your eyes on him. And then when we get together, we encourage one another. We strengthen one another. We build one another up and keep pointing to him. We're all signposts. Wrong way, right way. That's all we can do and hope people pay attention. And after that, we get to enjoy him. So, shall we pray? No? All right, cool.